I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great today.
I tell you what, this month is over, isn't it?
Well, we got another day.
One whole day. That'll be going in a heartbeat.
I'm ready for July. I shouldn't say that. But
well, why are you ready for it then? The year is going by so fast.
That's why I said I shouldn't be saying that, particularly when, you know, you're as old as I am, 39. So, you know.
Oh, but my goodness. Now, folks, she's only kidding. She's not lying to you. She's just kidding. Believe me, you can trust her.
Well, we had a great day today, 4:30 to the upside on gold, $1,431. We did have a high of 1433, settled down $1,431 for gold. Silver's up 13 pennies today at 16.65. Platinum dropped today down 10 at 874. Palladium dropped 42 bucks, 2.75% at 1517. The USDX today was weaker just slightly, 0.01 now. Earlier it was 0.02, so we're at 98.06. Crude oil was up big though, 1.33 at 58.20. And the paper markets today, we have, let me go ahead and bring that. I didn't have a chance to follow them much today. A little bit of negative, in negative territory. You have the Dow down 23 points at 27,198. NASDAQ is down 19 at 82.73. S&P was down 7. So, you know, again, everybody's all focused on the big Fed's decision tomorrow. And, you know, there are discussions out there as why is the Fed cutting rates exactly? Because all signs are to, they really shouldn't, but they no longer pay any attention to the data. And it is all about keeping the stock market higher as the best that they can. And that's all part of the plan. It's all how they do it. The 10-year yield today is 2.06, up 0.01. European Asian markets were, Germany was down a little over 2%, so that was big for Germany. And anything else going on? Bitcoin is still at 9,600, but that was up a little bit today. So a great day for gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, it's building this really strong base here at this $1,400 level. And I can't imagine what could happen to that Fed decision tomorrow that would change and allow gold to plummet. The only thing I could think would be if they held rates steady.
And what do you think that would mean?
Well, I mean, you could even look at that in two different ways. I mean, you could look at if they held rates steady and they didn't change it, it means that, you know, the stock market would crash. You know, gold could go either way. It could go up or down. I don't know. Personally, I don't think the rate increase is going to do much to gold regardless of what he does, because I really think what gold is responding to now is our debt. And I think this is what, and the amount of money that is just being spent. I mean, every day there's a new program. Millions or billions of more is being spent. We look at this, you know, the past 2 years, and yeah, the administration before this wasn't any better. All the administrations prior to this one wasn't any better. But it's, I don't know, it seems like everything is coming to a head, and I think it's also in addition to the elections. You know, and all the things that are being said, all the things that, I don't know, it's creepy, Butch.
It is. It really
is.
It's creepy. In a little bit, I want to share an article that written that I've written. It said about the Fed if they cut interest rates, what that's really going to mean is a mention of recession coming. So a little bit later on, maybe share it's just about a paragraph long. But
well,
it is kind of scary.
I mean, that's what we've been talking about. If the economies is so great, why are they cutting rates? They
sure,
have to
exactly.
to keep it going because we are heading into a recession. I mean, that really is a no-brainer. They wouldn't be doing it. And they wouldn't be, and they'd be, you know, at least they'd be holding. Well, let's wait and see what happens now. I mean, all data is out the window. And, of course, it does show that things are not going as well as with the low mortgage rates, our thriving employment. You'd think it would make a strong housing market. But instead, we're having a bigger problem, and that's affordability. And it's, you know, this article that I read, I think it was, it was either Bloomberg or, you know, one of them. It's a crisis.
Yes, it is.
And
it is.
If we, yeah, and now it's beginning to hit the heartland. And you have entry-level buyers that are scrambling to purchase homes. Homes are in short supply, which is sending the values that are soaring. And again, we've seen that with expectations that the Federal Reserve is going to reduce interest rates this week, it's going to do little to change that sober reality. For many, prices have risen much faster than incomes. It pushes this homeownership out of reach for a new generation of hopeful buyers. So with the 2019 spring season shaping up as the slowest for sales in 5 years. Now, this is according to CoreLogic. And when you have the slowest sales for 5 years, you have to take into account of everything else that goes into when you purchase a home. Appliances, furniture, go to home people, you buy everything you do to fix it up, landscaping. A lot of money is spent when a person purchases a new home, and now we're looking at the slowest sales in 5 years. So
well,
it's
people
just
can't afford
not
the rent now. That's not the other problem I'm seeing. People can't afford the rent. They can't buy and they can't afford the rent. They're kind of crick.
I remember talking about the crisis in affordable housing 20 years ago. It's been a problem a lot longer than just today. But we continue to see these homes, the prices, the median home is almost, what, $300,000. And so it is a crisis. And you're right, they can't afford to rent, because that's just as expensive as, you know, purchasing a home for mortgages anymore. But you can't find a home valued at $200,000. Here's the guy, this article talks about a 29-year-old chemical plant worker. He's been trying to find a starter home for less than $200,000 in Louisville, Kentucky. And he says
wow.
Every time he saw a house that he wanted, it was snapped up before he could get there. He was outbid on another. He finally had an above asking offer accepted on a house that was listed for $199,000, but only after his agent actually locked the door during a showing, keeping another buyer out. So, I mean, that's how some of this stuff
wow.
is going on. And, of course, that pushes up the prices. And these aren't new homes. These are, you know. So, you know, they built so many big homes and everything else like that. There are no smaller starter homes. And the builders are taking advantage of this. They're going to build and build and build and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's they can get wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. And the crap, the way they build new homes today, oh, my gosh. It's incredible.
That's true. That is true. That is very true. You know, again, I don't know how it is in other areas, but where I live here, even in West Virginia, because of certain things, right now they're putting a gas line through here. People rent out camper trailers. They got people parking camper trailers in their yards. People just need a place, this place to stay to work. And everything's out of reach rent-wise. I mean, people are gouging other people now because of that. But even before this started, I know some realtors pretty well around here, and they said that, you know, the homes, even in an area where there's not much to, not, we'll say they're lower priced homes, people that aren't working still can't afford them. Low income people still can't afford the lower priced homes. You're going to somebody who wants to sell one for $80,000, that's really cheap. But if you're making $9 an hour is kind of a lot of money to buy that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
So, I mean, this is the same scenario, just we'll say on a lower scale. And as I read reading a paragraph here in that article, I thought it was really, well, right to the point. It said, we will have to reboot our standard of living to survive as a nation. Now, in 1940, folks, just stop and think of it. In 1940, we still had silver-backed dollars. Gold was out of them, silver still there. In 1940, you could buy a nice Cape Cod-style home for around $2,500. Someone entering the job market likely started at $25 a week. A 1940 Buick with a straight 8 would run you $895 and up. It says, why this stroll down memory lane? Because it is meant to show how much inflation has changed the price of things. When we still use money that was backed based on gold and silver, at that time silver, inflation was kept in check to some degree. Fractional reserve banking and excessive credit creation have distorted the value of things we depend on for life, and we are coming to the end of that failed experiment. All of our recent prosperity has been paid for with our ability to print dollars out of thin air. And Melanie, that's a very well stated couple of paragraphs there. We have a fake prosperity. Yeah, we're bigger homes, nicer cars, maybe different things, but it's based on a bubble, on a piece of paper that's worth nothing except the faith that people believe it is. We built our whole nation in the last 50 years, 60 years, on credit. Not on money, not debts. On money passing hands. 1940, up to 1964, if you paid a man a dollar bill set on top of a silver certificate, you actually gave him something, a piece of metal that could be redeemed for in real silver. It was backed by a tangible asset that could be picked up at the bank and used the way you wanted to. Today, you go to the bank and say you want a silver dollar, they'll give you something looks like one, but it's not silver. It is junk metal. So now we have built a whole society on a false economy, and it is going to collapse. The only way back would be to go back to a standard of real money, and boy, that was smart like you know what when that happened.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's... So eventually it's going to cash up. I mean, the whole system, the whole illusion that you've talked about, the bubble, has all been created by debt. And it does. It will make a difference. It will affect each and every one of us. I was reading an article today, but yesterday we talked a little bit about buybacks, corporate buybacks, and you know that how it's just getting a little out of hand. And today I saw an article about how companies. Well, let me get to the right one here. Let me see if I can find it. This is the wrong one. This one is actually just talking about the cashbacks. This is the first time since the financial crisis that companies have given back more to shareholders than they are making in cash, net of their capital expenditures, interest payments, free cash flow. This is according to Goldman. Does that even register to people? This is, again, the first time.
How does that work? How does
since
that
the
work?
Financial debt. And these companies are on pace to break another record for these share repurchases this year. We talked about this yesterday on the program. This article is from CNBC. And the funding is coming from a drawdown on the cash that they have, as well as a rise in gross debt and leverage. So people don't think that this is going to be a problem in the very nearer future than the government. The government's pretty easy at being able to drum up buyers for their debt. What about these corporations, these multinational corporations? As soon as business slacks off. And that's what these rate cuts are all about, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't about your house mortgage. They could care less about you and your mortgage and people buying homes and trying to survive out there. They could care less about your credit card rate going up and you having to pay more and more and you can buy less and less on that, you know, because of your interest rate. They could care less about you. What they care about are these multinational corporations because they got a debt load that has to be refinanced, that's turned over, and if they're paying a higher rate, guess what? It's going to affect Wall Street. You know, it affects government because of what they have to pay. It's the interest rates or what it costs to service the debt. That's what it's all about. It isn't our. They could care less if we went belly up. It's their debt, multinational corporations' debt, and that's why these rates have to come down, because they're teetering. They're teetering. And they're continuing to throw fiat money after all of these bad programs. They just keep signing away things, our tax dollars. Everybody, we applaud because all these programs, we applaud. Oh, infrastructure, yay. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is our money. We pay for it. You know, I saw this morning where they extended the benefit. And I know I'm going to get a lot of mail on this. How can you be so mean, ugly, and you know, blah, blah, blah. President Trump signed the extended benefits for 9/11 survivors for 70 and unlimited for 70 years or more. Who's going to live that long? You know, that should be the responsibility of the state.
Why would they do it for 70 years?
Well, it's a lot. I mean, this should be the responsibility of the states and the city. It shouldn't be the federal government's job. It should be the city and the state to take care of these people that gave their lives and that are contracting all these diseases and cancer. It's horrible. Considering, well, maybe it's the government who did it. Well, okay, yeah, I get that part. But it should be the cities and the states. We got to start giving back the responsibility to these states. And, it's so messed up. And you're right. They were right. So many people gave their lives to protect because they weren't given the truth either. They lost their lives because they weren't given the truth. Yeah. And then we take away their ability to sue the Saudis. People can't sue because they're the ones that were responsible, supposedly. I don't know. I just get such mixed feelings because half of me, yeah, I bleed. My heart bleeds for these people because I couldn't run into a burning building. I couldn't do that. And these people did. So my heart bleeds for them and their families. So I don't know, Butch. Yes. What do we do?
Well, the 70 years is overkill. I certainly understand the immediate need by the immediate families. Of course I see that. Of course I see that. The breadwinner may be gone, but not for 70 years. I'm sorry, I don't see that.
What about the insurance companies?
Exactly. This is way, way overkill. But it's a politically correct thing to do, obviously. That's why he did it.
Well, we're heading into a break. That's one thing that we have to do. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I think I had too much coffee today, Butch. You think maybe?
I don't know how many cups you had, but you never know.
Well, you know, it is, you know, we talked about this during the break, what we were talking about heading into the break, and it's just... Maybe it was a poor example to lead with. It was a poor example. I don't know. You know, and again, my heart bleeds for these families, and I can't imagine. I mean, but we have so many, you know, I guess it's just more of a sign of how things are just so out of balance. Things are just so, you know. And you know, the funny thing about it is you won't hear any of the other media stations talking about Trump signing that as much as they talk about. You won't hear any of them giving him kudos for it, will you?
No, you won't. But again, like I said during the break, that was a political correct thing to do. If he didn't do that, he would be up a creek again with another fight on his hands over something he did or didn't do. So he pretty much was pressured into it, I'm sure. I don't agree with it. 70 years is too long. The immediate family, I understand, take care of them because, like I said, they lost the breadwinner. But I don't agree. 70 years is ridiculous. And besides that, I'll say this on the air, when they put on the uniform, they take the responsibility. That's just that easy. So I don't mean I won't take care of them, but not for 70 years. Veterans don't even have that. They come home with lost legs and limbs and even minds. And they have to fight to get enough benefit to even eat on. It doesn't pass on to the children and the children's children. That's ridiculous. But that's what it is. Now I got you in more trouble.
I know. Let's move on to get me out of trouble.
Well, here's an article that I know is going to make you feel happy. Because you know how much you and I detest property taxes, right?
Right.
This was in the Daily Mail. It says, for 3 years, the pair scrimped and saved in order to fix up the four-unit property. On the weekends, Romaldo would spend his days off making the 11-hour drive from New Jersey to Michigan to work on the house, making the much-needed repairs himself. In addition to the small complex, the family purchased a small home next door. The plan was to renovate and rent out each unit and then use that money to help Romaldo retire and move his family to the small home in Michigan where the rest of their extended family resides. Erica, who has seen her father work long hours and sacrifice to provide for her family over the years, was happy to help her father buy the property. She was eager to begin building her own financial legacy and saw the property as an excellent investment opportunity. These plans were derailed, however, when their property was seized by Wayne County, Michigan, in 2017 and sold to a private buyer, all because they had unknowingly underpaid their tax bill by $144. To be sure, with the interest that was accounted for, the Perez family did owe $500 in unpaid taxes in the county. County officials used this as a justification to seize, sell, and then keep the $108,000 revenue they earned from the sale of said property. What do you think about them apples? For $144 of tax that they didn't know they missed, and no one told them about it until they sold the property.
Wow.
Now that is so despicable. That's despicable. I mean, that makes you want to spit on somebody that would do that to a man and his family, because they didn't know they owed the taxes. They didn't get any notice. They said they never got any notice or anything about it. Went up to $500, and the county justified that to seize the property and sell it, keep the money, and they lost everything.
Wow.
Really, that's just wrong. That's wrong. There's no way in the world to justify that. None. Now you understand why you and I hate property tax so much. A man could, a woman could work all their lives and pay their home off. But property taxes do go up. I know they do. I pay them myself. They go up about every year a little bit. And it may come a day when I can't meet those. What would they do with the property that I worked so hard to pay for?
You're out of there.
You're paying rent to the state. If you don't pay your rent, they will seize your home. So it's never your home, folks. It never belongs to you. If you don't pay the state their what's a good word to say? Blackmail money, you're going to lose your home. And that money goes to support something I don't believe in, the public school system. My boys didn't go to public school. I hate public schools with a passion, what they do to their children. So it's a double whammy on folks like me. So there you go. That's my nickel's worth for the day.
I know, property taxes, it does. And particularly the older we get, you know, it's harder to come up with those dollars. Your dollars buy less and less through an inflation.
Absolutely.
You know, your Social Security checks or even your pensions and so forth, they ain't going to cover it. And it's just, they know it and they can abuse it. And did you ever wonder why the big push is that the American dream is owning a home? So they can steal more from you. It's just...
Well, my brother's a year behind me in age. He's 60. He'll be 69 in January. He's a retired miner. In 2020, because the mining pension was going broke, he loses his money from his mining pension. He said he didn't know how he's going to make it with that pension going. Now, whether he agreed with the pension or not, it was promised to him, you know, and he paid into it for many years. And now, in the first, which is just a little over a year away, he's going to lose that pension. Melanie, I mean, this is going to put a strain on him that not just to pay property taxes and power bills and phone bills, but even to eat. So, at 69 years old, what are you going to do? Go out and find a brand new job, start over again?
People should pay attention to what you're saying, because this is what happens to pension plans. This
Absolutely.
Is what's going to happen when these multinational corporations can't service their debt anymore. Who do you think they're going to capture their money from first? You know, it's all these pensions that they promised these states. It's just, we all know these pensions are underfunded.
It's starting to show. Starting to show big time.
But you think anybody's going to report on this?
Well, I doubt it. You know, an article here, it says it's now obvious the taxpayers of Illinois will have their incomes confiscated to fund increases for overpaid teachers. Get out while you still have your wallet. Now, this is going on now. A month ago, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot insisted that the city's pension funds were facing a bankruptcy and demanded an urgent multi-billion-dollar bailout from the state. Governor J.B. Pritzker disagreed and denied her request, making it safe to assume that the funds will continue to face the same serious problems. It came as something of a shock, therefore, and listen to this, when just 3 weeks later, Mayor Lightfoot offered the Chicago Teachers Union 14% pay increase over the next 5 years. Increases which will cost Chicago's taxpayers, just to City of Chicago, an extra $325 million a year, and ought to place even more stress on city's pension funds. Now, how's that for common sense? They can't fund them. The state said, we're not going to help, so we're going to raise it. We're going to raise pay. My God. And the average teacher in that city makes $80,000 a year. That's a good paycheck.
Well, the living expenses there are you know, more too. So I mean,
well, I'm sure, but $80,000 a year. That's teachers here start out at maybe 40.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I mean, I don't get it.
Still not a bad income to start out as.
No, it isn't. It's not bad at all. They make more than state troopers do. But I mean, the governor said no. And Miss Lightfoot said, it makes no difference. We're going to give a pay raise and tax the taxpayers of Chicago. It never ends. How many people do you think, Melody, in the city are not making $80,000 a year that have paid the tax anyway?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a strange, the accounting, all these, these CPAs and, they go to all these colleges and everything it's like, it's just crazy. It's just all crazy.
Well, I wonder how many people out there listening to this broadcast today, and I'm sure a lot of them out there would agree with what I'm saying. If they found out, let's say they drew, I'll just be modest, say they drew $800 a month pension plus their Social Security. $800 a month pension from their retirement fund on the job or maybe. And they found out in 2020 that was going to end. It was not going to be replaced by anything else. What would they do? They have about a year and a half left to prepare for that. Why are they going to cut back on Melody if they have a hard time making, let's say, on $2,000 a month, or $1,500 a month, or $1,000 a month right now? How are they going to do when $800 more is missing? I have a close friend of mine who worked two jobs in the hospitals. A new company took over the hospital, and they said you cannot work the other job. You have to give one of them up. It cost him $1,400 a month to quit the other job. Now his mom and dad are helping feed him and his family. Now these are real scenarios. These are not what if things. These are happening right now. What if it happened to you? What would you fall back on? Your life savings, if you have any? How long would that last? What would you fall back on? What would you have for a tangible asset that you could actually that could be liquid? You can't just sell your house. Where would you go? You can't sell your car necessarily. How are you going to get around? Where are you going? Melody, you have to have something that you can live without that's tangible and liquid. I want to get you through the hard spots, don't you?
Absolutely, you do. And you know what? I often tell folks, if they ask me my opinion, prepare for worst-case scenario. Worst case scenario rarely happens. But if you prepare for it,
overkill is better than not getting enough. It's better to be over than is under.
Yeah. So if it doesn't happen, you're planned for whatever happens. So plan for worst. Ask yourself, what is worst case scenario, and base a lot of your decisions on that. And same way with your finances. What's the worst case scenario? Worst case scenario is you're going to lose 70% of at least 70% of your money, your assets.
When this economy goes down, you're going to lose it anyway.
You're going to lose, yeah. So worst case scenario is, well, plan for it. And then you can live your life and not worry. Instead, many people just worry, waiting for something to happen. And you listen to all these dates and everything. Oh, this is going to happen on, August 30th, Forget about it. If you're prepared for worst case scenario, it doesn't matter. So,
well, you know that the coal mining union, being raised in coal mining country, my dad thought, John L. Lewis and whoever else was almost a god themselves, because he brought the union about and he made the coal miners what it was. And I'm not knocking unions, believe me, I'm not. But now they're finding out that the money's not there for 50 years later for people retiring. My brother's one of them. What's he going to do? He counted on the union, because the union said, we'll be there for you. Every time you count on man's plans, you're likely to see a failure. That includes Social Security people. Don't say, oh, well, I have Social Security. Not necessarily. They're spending that already before it's ever sent to you. They're already broke. They've been broke for years. It could end also. I know you're not wealthy. You can't afford to go out and buy $100,000 worth of gold and silver. But if you can do $200,000, $300,000, $100,000 every month or two, it adds up. That's how I can put together what I have, a little bit I have, Melody. A little bit here, a little bit there. I buy some from you, and I don't buy a lot because I can't afford it. But I do buy, don't I?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And folks, you start buying $200 a month, and at the end of the year, you got $2,400 in gold and silver. And by the end of that year, the price of that's going to be going up. And do that for 5 or 6 years in a row, you got a little bit of gold and silver in the backup. And I know you're not wealthy. I know you're not. But plan for the future.
If the thing of it is, Butch, there are a lot of people that are listening to this program that do have retirement accounts and pension plans, that are managed And that's what's gonna hurt people. When you're depending on retiring with a certain amount, just as you explained as your brother, depending on that pension, all of a sudden it's not gonna be there. Or look how many other pensions across this country that have been adjusted. And I'll tell you what, if you're expecting $1,000 a month and the pension says, well, we're just gonna cut it $500, you're gonna be happy. That at least you get $500, you're not gonna lose it all. You're not gonna be real happy, but I mean at least you're not losing it all, so you'll agree to it. People, I don't think people have a choice of whether they can agree to it or not. But I mean, it's not a one size shoe fits all.
No,
you all have to look at your own, you know, where you are, and that's how you buy gold and silver. It's based on your suitability, and again, that worst case scenario. And were you lucky? You know, have you worked hard all your life? You have pensions, you have retirement accounts, you have cash sitting there. Protect it. Get it insured.
Totally right. And you know, Bill, the other thing about it, if you can live, let's say you, some folks make $25,000 a year, and some make $50,000, some make $100,000, whatever. But if you're living on, let's say, $3,000 a month, and you're making it right now, you're not wealthy, but you're comfortable. If you still count on $3,000 a month covering 10 years now, you're not thinking. Because inflation, that'll be cut down to at least $2,500 or less. You're not thinking, folks. You're not thinking at all. You're thinking you can live on what you're making now when you retire. No, you won't, because inflation will eat it up between now and then. I know personally, I'm living that life right now. I know what I'm talking about. What you live on 20 years ago simply won't hack it today. Is that truth or what?
I was speaking to somebody just a couple of weeks ago, a financial planner, and she was telling me the same thing. She's working with clients. She's seeing more and more of them. They're 80 years old. Their retirement's only covered them up until, so they are running out of money because they're living longer. And it's not, and they'll blame that. They'll blame that it's because they're living longer, but it truly is, their dollar is buying less.
That's
the problem. It's inflation.
There's no reason why you couldn't live on $3,000 10 years from now if inflation didn't eat it up. If we had real money, it wouldn't be that way. It'd be very slight inflation.
It wouldn't be that way. You could be 100. And if it stayed the same, you'd still be able to survive. But they're not going to tell you it's inflation. They'll tell you it's because you're too old. You're living too long.
True.
You know, then it goes into that other agenda that they have.
You're going to
be a useless eater.
What that's another whole ball game. Yeah, I mean, why should keep you alive? That's also in the plans. You know that too. We're about our time again. Wait for this. Well, I'll probably get it done for this break. But I want to share a story from businesses in California who are hurting over minimum wages. What's happened to these businesses? You know, it seems like Democrats and Republicans, but Democrats especially, think they can force business to pay more money that they don't have.
Another political ploy during election. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Butch.
All right. You know, if folks could hear our break time, they'd either love us or hate us. I don't know which. But anyway, we have some good times, folks. We do. Well, I'm blessed to be in the broadcast to work with Melody and Todd, the producer. We talk to each other, and we have a good time talking to each other and even teasing each other. But anyway, back to the real world. Democrats in Washington are trying to push through a bill to raise a federal minimum wage, but around the country, dozens of cities and states raised the wage floor at the beginning of the year. And like clockwork, small businesses across the country are already struggling with some of the issues that conservatives warned about. To wit, many businesses, particularly restaurants, which are notoriously low-margin businesses, have been forced to lay off employees even after raising prices to meet the new wage requirements. In other words, just like it is in Seattle, a higher minimum wage is hurting the poorest and most vulnerable workers. In other words, it's hurting the people it was supposed to help. The folks, let that sink in. The people are getting laid off, and they're not making $8 an hour longer or $10. They're making nothing. They're not making the $15 an hour that they promised. They're making nothing. It hurt them the most because they couldn't afford to keep them. In a piece published this week, WSJ takes us to the Bay Area, where the owner of a restaurant called Patatas Neighborhood Kitchen, situated in a small town north of Oakland, after the city of Emeryville raised its minimum wage from $15 to $16.30 this year, the restaurant owner was forced to lay off 6 of his 10 employees and eliminate the dinner shift. It not only hurt him because of cutback on his business with dinner, it hurt 6. Over half his employees were laid off because he couldn't afford to pay him. Now, who benefited from that? Who benefited from that? Did the Democrats or Republicans, either one, but Democrats seem to be the biggest pusher for this, who forced this man to pay this wage and cut back on his business hours and lay off workers? Who did it benefit? The dumb jerks that pass these laws don't even realize that they're even cutting their own throat with taxes, because when people aren't working, they don't pay taxes. Man, this is common sense. If I can see this, why can't everybody else see this?
Because they don't want to. You know,
I suppose.
But they don't have the time. They don't have the, you know, and when you really see who's pushing the minimum wage and everything, it's an election year ploy. You know, they'll tout it for, you know, through the election. You'll hear tonight on the debate, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure.
About minimum wage.
I'm sure. And I'm so sick of this. I personally, at one time, was on the other end of the spectrum. I was. My first job, after I got married, was $2 an hour, which is minimum wage, working in a sawmill. And believe me, you earned it working in a sawmill. $2 an hour was minimum wage. I remember going to $2.20. I thought, this is all great. See, I didn't understand the idea of forced pay increases prices for everybody, and increase your taxes and inflation, so I tax you again. I didn't know that. Now I get it. And businesses that can't afford to pay those wages lay people off or cut their hours, so the people that they say they want to help gets hurt the most. I didn't get it, but I get it now. And to me, it makes common sense that you can't force somebody to pay something they don't have. That's all right. You do is hurting everybody around them.
Yep.
Makes sense to you?
Makes sense to me.
Another article here says if the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates now, it'll be an admission that a recession is coming. This is a well-written article. So there's a lot of buzz that the Federal Reserve is about to cut interest rates, and it might actually happen. We'll see. But if it does happen, it will directly contradict the carefully crafted narrative about the economy that the Federal Reserve has been perpetuating all this time. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell has repeatedly insisted that the U.S. economy is in great shape, and even when there have been tremendous amounts of evidence indicating otherwise, and of course President Trump has been repeatedly telling us that this is the greatest economy in the history of our country, but now he's loudly calling for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates as well. Something doesn't seem to add up here. The U.S. economy really was booming. There is no way that the Fed should cut interest rates. Right now, interest rates are already low by historical standards, and theoretically, it is during the boom times that interest rates should be normalized. But if the U.S. economy is actually slowing down and heading into a recession, then a rate cut would make perfect sense. And if that is the reality of what we are facing, then the economic optimists have been proven dead wrong, and people like me that have been warning of the economic slowdown have been proven right. Very well written and right to the point. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Why are they going to cut rates if the economy's booming?
Well, that's what I've been saying. So he must have heard us.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I mean, that's well, you hear about they're trying to stem it before it happens. I mean, that was the whole discussion when they were raising rates, because the economy at that point in time, you know, really was, you know, just floating along as what we are now. And it was, let's raise rates so we can cut them, which never made a whole lot of sense to me. But if that's what was called for, that's what they did. So, okay, a strong economy, you raise rates, but we're only doing it so if we have to cut them, we can. It's like, where's the logic in the world anymore?
Well, I don't know. And you know, and again, with interest rates being cut, economy, people having to lay off because they can't hire the workers, the nation is going $1.23 trillion in debt this year. And as compared to $546 billion in 2017. Now let that sink in. A lot of difference between $546 billion and $1.23 trillion. That means that they're not collecting revenues, so they're borrowing money. It's said that they're selling the debt, but they're just borrowing money, people. That's what that means. They're borrowing money to keep themselves afloat at a record pace. How long before it just doesn't work any longer? How long before the printed money becomes so worthless that people start seeing, hey, this is really trash, we don't want this any longer? Then what do they do? Could we see 100% inflation rates? Of course we will. I didn't say we could, we will. Even more. Some nations have seen 1,000,000% interest rates, inflation rates, because of the fiat currencies. Melly, this is coming to America. This is coming to America, whether you like it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, it's coming to America, is it not?
It is here.
Yes,
and
it is.
This is the path. It already started, and this is the path that we're on. And we're, you know, and I'm really not a gloom and doomer, but I am a realist, and I'm it's just the truth. You know, if I was a gloom and doomer, I'd be telling you that the world is going to come apart by August 30th. That's a gloom and doomer. But this is just the facts. And I try to read a lot of things, and I always try to see if I can find something to reverse my thoughts, to see if I'm wrong. I always test to see if I'm wrong. I don't just listen to, you know, one person out there, or I read one you know, same venue all the time online. I always check to see if I'm wrong, to see if my thinking, maybe I'm incorrect. Maybe I'm looking at the truth a little bit differently. So I really see it as the truth. We have some issues, big issues, that are facing people's. But everybody knows that. People who listen to this program, we've been talking about the fiat dollar for how long? And it's just, but I know people get sidetracked. And my customers tell me, Butch, well, I've been hearing this for years and years, and nothing happens.
Again, we covered it last week. It's happening every day. It's just happening gradually. But it's happening every day. Your dollar's worth less every day. The economy is collapsing. One day it'll totally fall. But it's collapsing every day, folks. Just because you're going down the hill slowly doesn't mean you're not going down the hill. You better wake up and smell the roses and smell the coffee and get a cup of coffee like Melly does. You get wired up and do something different.
Or say something wrong.
Anyway. And you know, I got an article here, too, from Money Maven about car dealers. They keep bringing you wanting the dealers to stock more cars, and the car dealers say, we can't. We're full up. We don't want any more cars. This is going on, of course, in China and overseas in EU, but also in America. We don't need more cars. Said that the sales are down on SUVs and trucks and sedans and all the other. The sales are down on cars, on new cars, because people just aren't buying me right now. I don't know what the reason is. I mean, I know one reason is that the average price for a new car, the average price is $35,000. That's more than I paid for my house when I bought it back in 1970-something. Now, think about that. They're paying more, Melody, for a car than I paid for a place to live at the time. That's quite a statement.
I know. It truly is amazing, the price on cars. But again, it's not the supply and demand that's pushing the prices up. It's the worthlessness of your dollar.
There you go.
It takes more of those dollars to buy things. It's just.
Well, you know, GM shut down their plant in Lordstown, Ohio, and they're where it made a Chevrolet Cruze, and they're talking about coming back some more on manufacturing in Detroit and other places. Honda is recently ended a shift that is plant in Maryville, Ohio, and that makes the Accord and other models. So, yes, folks, it is slowing down. It isn't dropping through the floor today. But it dropped through the floor a little bit more today. The floor hasn't totally given out yet, but it's getting very shaky. And I'm telling you, please don't keep saying, well, you told us that 20 years ago. 20 years ago, your dollar bought more, a lot more than it does right now. I'll tell you that right now. The dollar is dropping every day. Please face reality. For your sake and family's sake, face reality. It is collapsing. Understand that. 20 years ago, Melody, your dollar bought a lot more than it is today in any store you go into. So to say that it isn't happening is really kind of silly, isn't it?
It is. And the funny thing about it, well, it isn't funny, but the interesting thing about it is when you do realize it, and you've heard me say this a million times, when that 2x4 finally hits you, it's not going to be nice. No, it's going to hurt. And be thankful we're at this stage. And that's what they're betting on. But this just gives you more time to prepare and to get ready.
Be thankful that Melody Cedar is still in the air to do this. Be thankful that you're still there able to do it, Melody, that you're there to help them. Be thankful for that also.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But when things happen, it's going to be nasty. It's going to be nasty.
Yes, it is.
I mean, look how people are behaving today. That's because there's no accountability. We have no, and it is, you know, going back to the values, the morals, our faith. There's no accountability. There's nothing to, you know, do anything. Feels good, do it. Yeah, if you're a little angry, that's all right. Here, take a pill or two. This will make you better. I mean, it's just, we've lost, it seems like we have lost our way.
Well, we have. I'd get into that with a whole different scenario. I mean, people wonder why the nation's so full of hatred and bigotry and violence. And I can tell them the Bible says very clearly what it is. It truly does. You know, it said that Christ said by through Christ all things exist, and by him all things consist. So when something, the thing that makes something consist or hold together is taken out, it flies apart. We lost the idea of the moral values that Christ taught us in the scriptures. The nations fall apart. It's no big deal. You take the sand out of concrete, it falls apart. You take Christ out of society, it falls apart. It's just that easy. It's not rocket science.
No, somebody sent me, I don't know if I can find it here real quick. It was an article, I guess I lost it, but it says that, you know, I'll see if I can't find it for when you're on Thursday, because it really is basically says the same thing that you just said, and it's powerful about you know, without Christ. It's order.
It is. It is.
It's order. It is. And without that order, there's chaos.
Absolutely.
And this is, and this was, you know, really powerful. And and I'll see if I can't find that, and, you know, maybe just do the first couple sentences. But it's exactly what you just said. We have chaos.
Well,
and I don't think anybody can deny that.
No, you can't deny it. You really can't. I mean, look at what's happening. And at this, I will say very quickly, and people think what they want to about, but I'll say this very quickly. You know, we hear about what Representative Cummins and what Trump said about Baltimore as a, you know, as a,
yeah,
as a ratty place. And he told the truth, folks. I'm not making this up. This was Orkin rated the cities this country in 2018 of the rattiest cities. Baltimore's number 9. Believe it or not, Denver's on there. Denver, folks. Denver. And PBS aired a program, Rat Film, they called it. Baltimore was talked about. That was the main thing. Former mayor of Baltimore said you can smell the rats. Now, this isn't Trump saying it. He said it. And Baltimore's given $16 billion in grants to help fight some of this, and no one seems to know where it went to. Maybe Cummings should answer that question. Where's the $16 billion we give to the city? Where did it go? Maybe the mayor of Baltimore should say that. And by the way, Democrats have run this city since, I think, 1950s. They run the city. So maybe, you pick up Democrats. No, I don't vote Republican either. But the Democrats have run this over since 1950s, and it has fallen apart, it seems, as many other cities are. There you go.
You know, and you know, they always talk about how great John Hopkins is. Well, look who owns the John Hopkins. It's the Saudis. They purchased that, and so there's a lot of things into that story, and we can talk about that also on Thursday, because we're just out of time. We can't do it anymore. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Wendy Wilson and Dave Allen. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man.